Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome here to July 30th as we come your way from our studios in a cloudy downtown Champaign. Glad you're with us. Had some rain earlier this morning. Temperature not bad, 64 degrees here as we start to close down the month of July. Another day tomorrow, and then, of course, we're into August. Illini football practice starts at the end of the week, so we start to transition from one time of the year to the other. Great to have you with us today on Penny for Your Thoughts. Busy show today, as it always is. Justice Robert Steigman will be with us here for both hours. He's getting prepared, as we will have 2 hours with him coming up here after our opening timeout. Lots of things have happened. We last had him on in early May, and with scheduling and everything else, here it is the end of July. So lots of things have happened. We'll talk about the Mueller investigation. We'll talk about some legal matters. If you have any legal questions, doesn't have to be related to politics or anything. If you have something you want to ask the judge, you can certainly do that. He's been doing this a long time here on this show. So we'll talk about all the big topics with him. And again, you can call us at 356-9397. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. And you can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line. That's always a good way to do it, 351-5357. Went to the Cardinal game on Friday night, enjoyed that. Great atmosphere and great weather to watch a ball game in St. Louis in late July. That was good. Spent some time in St. Louis on Saturday, back home yesterday, and back at it here today on this Monday. Judge Robert Steigman, Justice Steigman, is next after this opening timeout. We'll get it started here on a Monday on Penny. .909 Penny for Your Thoughts, downtown Champaign, here at our DWS studios. We've got a busy day ahead for you on this Monday, 356-9397. You can text us. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357 and email us talk at WDWS.com. You've heard us talking about Woods Basement Systems over the years. Jim talked about them for several years. They've been around since 1986. The Woods family helping over 55,000 homeowners. And, of course, if you have basement or crawl space cracks, if you have some leaks, they came out and looked at a leak we had in our basement. And gave us a really good review of all the things that they potentially could do and would be doing. And we're going to have some work done on our basement here in a little bit coming up next month. But they can give you a free estimate. They've got the computer screen they call up. They can kind of show you the procedure of what they're looking at, what the problem is. And you can protect your home's investment, get your free estimate from Woods, fix those basement and crawl space issues once and for all. And a couple of things happen. Cracks get worse if you ignore them, and they keep stealing value from your home until the cause is fixed. They've won several awards, most proud of the Better Business Bureau Torch Awards. And remember that it doesn't cost you anything to get an estimate. At least take a look at what you are, might be dealing with in the future. 888-935-4333 or go to woodsbasementsystems.com. They've been around since 1986. A couple of texts left over from last Friday, and we did our Flashback Friday, so some of these kind of spill over from the first hour. A lot of references to Stan. Stan was talking about GDP was 3.7% for four quarters between 2014 and 15. He says the GDP was never over 3% under Obama for more than one quarter consecutively. Also, talking heads going at it left and right as they try to make their points with all their might. Some will win, some will lose. I just like the fake news. A little rhyme there. Text in yesterday, or on Friday, I should say, Dale shouldn't turn the channel when someone speaks with whom he disagrees. We should all keep our ears and minds open. Too often we watch and hear only from sources with which we agree. Today, Stan was just relaying items from news reporting services. I wouldn't call that lying. Keep on, Stan. So anyway, those are some of the leftover texts. And let's see, one about Don. He says, for someone who decries liberals, apparently defined as someone who doesn't agree with him as emotional, Don certainly comes across as very emotional himself. And that was from Steve. So anyway, that kind of cleans up everything from Friday. I had a great time with a Flashback Friday last week, and now back at it here on Monday. And look who we found. Justice Robert Steigman is here.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm terrific.
You didn't get wet today, did you?
No. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I was surprised that it's been so long since my last time out.
Yeah, early May. So a lot of things have happened.
You bet.
Since then. So you always bring a stack of stuff, as Rush likes to say.
I said it before he did.
That's right.
You goes back 30. I was on, it's hard to believe, I was on Penny for 8 years before Rush even started in 1998.
So you
1988.
That's really pretty good. So, predating by 10 years.
Yes,
so.
It's this is my 37th year now on this program.
Well, it's great to see you, and you look well. I saw you the other night at the quarterback club event.
Oh, yes.
Ready for football.
I was there with my wife. We are longtime fans. As a matter of fact, I think I'm one of the few people, I'm as I say, a member of the 106-year club, meaning if you take the number of years I've been a season ticket holder for basketball and football, it amounts now to 106 years. Starting with the fall of 1961, when I was a freshman at this university, and sitting in the East Balcony, and then the football, and I was out the 1964 Rose Bowl game where Dick Butkus played, and Grabowski, and the
Alani the MVP,
won. They won 17-7. It was a great fun, lots of excitement.
I was talking to another Judge Ford was at the event the other night,
yes,
too. He said he's had basketball and football season tickets for 50 years as well. So he's
good for him.
Not far behind you.
Yes.
So. In that category. So good loyal Illini.
Yep.
Well, what's on your mind? I know there's a couple of things you wanted to bring up off the top, but we could go 10 different directions. But
sure.
I'll let you.
Well, a couple of things. It occurs to me as I listen to the news how fortunate I am to be in the line of work where precision of thought and expression is important, and as a judge I can insist upon it so that – during oral arguments, frequently attorneys will use a term and say, well, what do you mean by that, counsel? How do you define that? And it's regrettable that people in the news media either aren't interested or don't use that same kind of question, because two terms that have been floating around so much have been collusion and meddling. And as I'm a consumer of the news media like everyone else, and as I listen to these terms, I'm often wondering, what does the person using that term mean? And there's almost never any follow-up saying, well, what do you mean by that? And as a for instance, there was all this discussion about how the intelligence community has reached a consensus or an agreement that the Russians meddled in the 2016 election. But no one says, well, specifically, what did they do? And sometimes when politicians use terms, they are intentionally ambiguous. And by the way, I don't mean to be criticizing just one party, both parties. You'll hear terms like special interests. The special interests are behind that. I have had this conversation, who do you mean by that? And turns out it's really some group that they don't agree with, you know.
Yeah.
Working families. It's not good for working families. What do you mean by that? Do you mean, are you no longer concerned about families that are not currently working? So in asking about what do you mean by meddling and collusion, it turns out, and part of the problem is, I think, and this might be intentionally the reason, a recent poll showed that a large number of Democrats apparently think that the Russian meddling involved changing votes, that is, the vote tally. Mm-hmm. And I can understand why people might think that, because that would be serious meddling. If, for instance, in Wisconsin, that Trump carried by a small margin, the Russians meddled in the vote count, That would be a dangerous business, and that would cast doubt upon the legitimacy of his election. However, if pressed, people say, well, no, we don't mean that. And indeed, I have a quote from Barack Obama in October of 2016 when the discussion, as you might recall, was would Trump abide by the election results, which all of the smart people at that time were saying he was going to lose. And part of it was addressing the claim that, gee, could the election results be tampered with? And President Obama in 2016, October, said, there is no serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections. And there is no evidence that this has happened in the past or that it will happen this time. Meaning, how could you possibly rig vote tallies in Wisconsin, or using Champaign County as an example, how could you possibly rig these vote tallies? It's not possible. Another example would be as recently as a few weeks ago when the special counsel Rosenstein announced these Russians were indicted for meddling in the election. He emphasized, by the way, this had nothing to do with changing any vote tallies, but that didn't get picked up much. So my point is, going back to, what do you mean by meddling? And I had this conversation with some friends of mine who were some lawyers recently, and they said, well, meddling meant they created false social media sites and bots. I'm no techie guy, so
They kind of lose me on the bots.
Yeah, they created false media sites, and these false media sites people went to, and they had information that was not true and might have slammed Hillary or things like this, or positions she was taking. So I looked at him and I said, so this meddling, you mean that I should be concerned that people who choose to get their news from social media might be misled by the junk that's on social media? That's somehow a concern that I have? That's meddling in an election? And they said, well, that's pretty much it. And I just think that's kind of crazy or silly. You know, it's the old story of, judge, protect me from myself again, you know, the kind of argument I've heard. There's so much sources for news out there that people have a chance to look at now, that if you're looking on Facebook or, you know, some social media for your news, maybe the best phrase is, you deserve what you get. You know, and the notion that I'm going to be feeling sorry for you, or that somehow we have to protect you from this stupid stuff you're reading to get this misinformation, I find not compelling at all. That is, the government, maybe another way to put it, the government has no obligation to protect adults from themselves. Mm-hmm. And if you choose to do dumb stuff, so be it. By the way, to the extent, and here's the flip side of this is, to the extent that anyone is concerned, and maybe we should be, about actual tampering with votes and vote tallies, there's 100% way to avoid the Russians or the Chinese or anyone else doing that. And it's known as paper ballots. And, you know, I'm old enough, Brian. I was first elected to office in 1976. There were no computers. The first election, people would, at the precinct places, the polls closed, and the election judges, and pretty good system we have here, of both parties, they'd sit there in everyone's presence, and they count out the ballots, and they totaled up, and then they took the totals over to the Champaign County Courthouse. Now, what was the problem with that? It might have taken, and it did, 2, 3, sometimes 4 hours to do this carefully and well. So what? What's the big deal? So somehow we now have to put our system in jeopardy. And, you know, people say, well, you know, who are these computer companies? Maybe they could build in some kind of stuff or hacking. Again, I don't understand how this goes, but maybe there's some legitimacy to it. So my point is, okay, let's go back to paper ballots. So when an election is held and the polls close at 7 o'clock, we don't need to know by 7:30 or even 8 o'clock who won. We can wait. Hold on, I'm glad you're sitting down, Brian. Maybe even till midnight to get the results. But what would be the benefit of that? We would know that the results weren't tampered anywhere. It's some election judges whom we trust from both parties sitting there tallying them up, bringing the results in. Now, what's interesting is this. With all this concern about meddling and Russian meddling and everything that you hear and both parties talking about this, and especially the Democrats, have you heard anybody say, let's go to paper ballots?
No, because we've already passed that threshold, I think.
Well,
right? You can't go back.
No, actually, you're too nice a guy.
Yeah.
That's not the reason.
Okay.
The fundamental reason is they know this isn't serious. They know this is nonsense. They know it's a possible concern down the road, but for the reasons Obama said, well, no one really believes that they are going to. The Russians are going to hack into the computers, and of course we have a paper trail in Champaign County. They're going to hack into the computers and change the results in Champaign County, so there's no push for paper ballots. But if anyone was seriously concerned, the very first thing you'd say, and by the way, what's the cost of this? Essentially, nothing. I mean, you're already paying the election judges. My wife has been an election judge for a long time.
Yeah.
You'd keep them there from, they close at 7 o'clock, maybe until midnight to count up the ballots, and then you have paper ballots and a paper trail.
356-9397. That was talking about meddling. We'll talk about collusion.
Yes.
What that means in a little bit here. We have a caller for you, though. We've got Eric on the line. Eric, good morning. You're on with Judge Steigman.
Good morning, Judge. I had a question or a point.
Sure.
I wanted to bring up about what you're saying. You have a very intelligent argument going on, except that I think you forgot one angle of this, which I think is what actually happened. And it kind of goes back to as old as the Jim Crow days. Voter suppression was the goal or intent here. Not ever changing actual tallies. I think that was probably long since determined that was pretty much impossible to do and or pull off. But to suppress the will of people to even go out and make that vote, I think is much.
How do you
more
mean?
What
when
more,
you say it suppressed them? In what way?
By psychologically.
How did they do that? How did
the whole game?
If you wanted to suppress someone's vote, what did the Russians do, or what did anyone else do to do that?
Well, what I'm saying is not necessarily that was done, but I think that was the intent or the practice that they were aiming for here with the fake news and whatnot, and which was definitely something that happened. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
What happened? Let's play as if this were in a courtroom, so I could say, what do you mean by that? It happened. What is it that you think happened, and how did it manifest itself?
Well, what happened was that so much effort was put into distrust and discontent among people, especially Hillary voters, that the...
Was this on social media? How did they do that?
You're talking about Twitter, like creating a lot of fake articles, that were at that point in time, not now, but at that point in time, they weren't properly... able to, screen and filter those things out. Everything
so you have sympathy for people who got their news from social media that, gee, look at this bad stuff, and therefore I've been dissuaded from voting?
I say social media and news are a much bigger source of people getting their news today than it ever was in the past.
Well, if someone's dumb enough to get their news from social media, why should the government or you or I be concerned about them?
Well, I think it was a pretty effective approach.
you didn't answer my question. If someone's dumb enough to get his or her news from social media, why should you or I or the government be concerned about them?
I guess I don't have a good answer for your
point. Well, I appreciate your candor, but essentially, this is very troubling because one of the things I've been talking about in Penny for decades is the government has no obligation to protect adults from themselves. So much of government activities, and I think activities which are perhaps well-intentioned, but really bad and with bad effects, are due to this effort on people's part. Well, Brian Barnhart ought not be doing X because it's not good for him, so we're going to prohibit Brian from doing X. Well, no. You see, we are all adults, and even if we are, a consensus could be reached, or we could be unanimous. Brian Barnhart ought not be doing X because it's not good for him. it's not the business of the government to prohibit him from doing X to protect himself. So, you know, when you talk about meddling in social media and, you know, people, I don't look at social media for my news, so I guess that's why I'm just not affected by it.
Well, a lot of people do, and I think a lot of it's generational. I mean, you know, this has been a recent phenomenon.
Okay.
You know, more in the last 10 years or so than, you know, 30 years ago. So that's a big part of it, I think.
But, you know, this is a choice and, in my view, a bad choice. But, by God, people are permitted to make it.
Yep. All right, Eric.
Thank you, sir.
Much. Yep. No, great to hear from you. Thank you. Good question. Brian, good morning. You're on with Judge Steigman.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. I just asked some questions, and also for Eric, the previous caller, was it fake social news sites that had Hillary Clinton destroying her servers and emails and iPads and phones?
Well, obviously not.
What was it, fake social media sites that had the DNC refuse to turn over their server to the FBI and allow, and for the FBI to allow that to happen and allow them to hire Ground Strike to, quote, do the research for them?
Well, no, once again, but we could, there's a whole list of this we can go through. I'm not sure that would be constructive, but this is not what people are viewing as meddling. And you see, this is why, and Eric, it sounds like a good soul who is troubled by all of this, which is why it's so important to define the term. And the next one that I mentioned to Brian, I want to get into is collusion, but we'll leave that for the moment. But
right.
And you would think with all of these smart folks in the media who are reporting breathlessly about how the intelligence community has reached, they're in agreement, Mr. President, that the Russians meddled. Someone would turn to them and say, what do you mean by that? What happened? For instance, there you mean that the Russians changed any votes? Well, no, we don't mean that. Oh, well, what do you mean? And I literally, by the way, this is not hyperbole. I literally don't recall that question ever being asked. And I don't remember anyone ever discussing the definition of meddling in this particular context.
Exactly. And I, when they claim that the Russian bots put out fake news, I would like to have them show me the examples of what was fake.
Well, I'm assuming as a given, there are Russian bots on social media who might have put out fake news, along with the Flat Earth group and the ones who talked about
the moon landing.
The moon landing was all staged. It's a, you know, hey, should we stop that? Is that illegal? Should we have the federal government investigate these people? I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Brian, thanks for the call.
Oh, thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right, 9:29 here on Penny for Your Thoughts, and we've got questions lined up. We've got Zoe and Steve waiting. We'll get to Tim Dittman and the news headlines, and then we'll talk a little more about the meaning of collusion as well and take your phone calls. And got a text about texting and driving as well. We'll get into that with Judge Steigman after this with the news with Tim Dittman.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun. To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun. To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Yeah, 50 years ago is the launch of the Big Mac.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. They're 50 years old, so they're doing some special things in relation to that, and now that I've planted that seed in your head, you'll...
Yes, and I remember it, too. Yes, I was around.
Yes, that's right. So, anyway, that's a little fun there, a little fun note today on this day in history. If you've ever had a collision, Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair is the place to call and contact. We all know that accidents are no fun. When you have one, your mind is racing, you're angry at yourself, or you're mad at the other person. Why did they do this, and why did I do that? I should have turned right, should have turned left. What am I thinking? All those things go through your mind. Once you get the insurance information exchanged and you're on your way, then you got to figure out what to do with your car. Well, we invite you to call Dave and Bill, Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair. Dave Miller and Bill Gallo, they're very passionate about what they do. They know the collision repair business inside and out. They've worked as insurance adjusters. They've ran body shops. So they can help you walk through all the maze of what you're facing here in the days ahead. So that'll relieve some stress. Just turn over the keys and let them go to work. And free estimates are always offered. From big crashes to little ones, they're all important. Consider Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair. If unfortunately you need their service, you'll be glad you did. South side of I-74 between the Neal Street and Prospect exits. GalloMiller.com is where you can find them online. We're talking about specificity in language. The judge has brought up meddling. What does that mean? What's the end result? Going to talk collusion here in a minute, but Zoe waded through the news. Hi, Zoe. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Brian. Are these people that are so disturbed by this so-called meddling, they didn't seem to be disturbed when voters were actually intimidated at a polling place during when Obama was running for election in, I forget if it was 2012.
It was Philadelphia in 2008, yeah. I believe.
2008. I couldn't remember for sure.
I remember the guy with the gun
standing
outside the polling place, and Eric Holder shrugged.
Right, and did nothing.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted, you may not want to comment on this, Judge, but I wondered if you can make any comments about this shadow banning of conservatives on Twitter that people are talking about.
Well, as I say, I'm not much of an IT guy. I don't know what shadow banning even means, but let me, I'm glad to have the opportunity to address this because I think this is an important point with regard to social media generally. I think when we're considering Facebook, Twitter, and other social media organs, Yahoo perhaps or whatever, we have to come up with the appropriate metaphor. These companies think that somehow they are entitled to censor what is being said. So if it's hate-filled, as an example, they can censor it or not report it or print it or whatever. And then, of course, we have the slippery slope of what do you mean, what's hate-filled, etc. But my point, the one I want to emphasize is this. I think we might need government action here to regulate these businesses so that they would be regulated like utilities. And you stop and think about what does that mean in our past? Well, it's the phone company. Back in the day when we just had regular phones and just, you know, you had a phone number and the like, if I wanted to pick up the phone and call Brian Barnhart, I'd pick up the phone and call Brian. And it was the business of the phone company to provide a means of letting me do that. The phone company wasn't concerned, and we would have been shocked if they claimed to have a legitimate concern over what I was saying to Brian Barnhart, because it wasn't their business. Mm-hmm. And indeed, I didn't want them listening to what I was saying to Brian Barnhart. Now, it's possible that I might have engaged in some sort of criminal behavior, maybe a conspiracy with Brian to commit a crime, or I called him up and threatened him or said something bad. But if that's the case, then hold the caller responsible for his bad conduct. It's not the business or fault or responsibility of the conduit, the phone company. Now, going ahead, I believe that Facebook and all these other social media things should be viewed essentially the same way in Twitter. That is, they're providing a conduit, a means for people to communicate. It's not the difference is, of course, what I called Brian. No one normally would be able to hear the call, and I would have objected if they had eavesdropped. With Twitter and Facebook, it's all public and open, what I'm saying. That's a difference. But does that change the relationship or the duty or the responsibility of the conduit? And my answer is an emphatic no. Twitter is just like the phone company. They shouldn't care, and they have no legitimate right to care. They're claiming they do, but it's bogus. What I say on Twitter, that is, if people don't like it, what's the answer? It's kind of like the old business about, gee, I don't like what's on TV. Well, you know, that's why there's that channel selector switch or the on-off switch. This is another one of those situations. Is it necessary for the government or Twitter or these private enterprises in the guise of government to protect people from themselves? By God, I got to protect Brian Barnhart. He might inadvertently get on Twitter and see something hateful, and he's such a delicate snowflake. I can't let that happen. That apparently is the argument, which is total nonsense.
All right, Zoe. Hey, thank you for the call, okay?
Thank you.
Appreciate it. 356-9397. Lines are busy today here for Judge Steigman. David, you're next. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
It's always good to have you on the air, the voice of common sense. And it's no surprise the lines are busy, because you're like a fertilizer that just stimulates good conversation and you know, hopeful debate.
Well, thank you. And by the way, one of the things I'm hopeful, and I thought with Eric in the last half hour, that these are points that, because I'm watching media too, these are points I don't see or hear anyone else making, yet I think they're self-evident, or at least they're certainly worthy of discussion.
Right. And that's what it should be. And people should be able to have civil debates about things and not get hysterical about it. I wanted to comment on, you know, this Russian meddling in social media. So I'm running for county board here in Champaign County, and I have a political Facebook page. And I created that, I think, last fall. No problem putting up posts or anything like that. But then as soon as you go to boost a post, which is like you pay a little money, a couple bucks, and you can pick a radius to have that pop up on people's feeds, I was able to do that, no problem. And you link it to a credit card, obviously. You're paying, and that credit card has an address and everything tied to it to verify it. But after Zuckerberg went and spoke to Congress voluntarily and testified to Congress about that they're going to make changes to make sure that there's no meddling of any foreign body and political topics on Facebook, you now have to go through a verification form to be able to make those same posts to the small geographic area. And that verification process was, you have to give your address. They send you a physical letter to your address. It has a code on it. You put that code in, and then that verifies that your address is in that geographic area that you say you live in, I guess. And then the second step is that you have to take photographs of your driver's license and submit that to Facebook. And it just, like you were just touching on about these social media companies, it's not their responsibility to have to decide what's real or fake going across their airwaves.
Well, I think you're exactly right. Let's go back to the metaphor I used earlier. Imagine if back in the 80s, when it was just Bell Telephone, I said, well, I want to call my friend Brian Barnhart. And they said, well, you know, who are you? We want to see your
right.
photograph.
Right.
You know, you say that you're at this phone number, but, you know, maybe it'd be somebody else. And we have to protect Brian Barnhart because, you know, he's the sensitive guy. So we want to make sure
right.
he's not getting phone calls that maybe
right.
aren't legitimate. Now, despite saying all this, you're laughing because it's so ludicrous. But my point
right.
is, to what extent is Facebook any different than the phone company? It's just a means of permitting one person to communicate his thoughts or ideas to another. Now, apparently, instead of just one-on-one, I pick up the phone and I call Brian. When I'm going on Facebook, I pick up Facebook, I communicate in Facebook to unknown people, maybe by the hundreds of thousands. But that's my choice. And it's equally the choice of anyone who's on Facebook to read what I say. So, again, the question is, why exactly is it important to protect people from what I might put out on Facebook? Maybe, and you know, in your case, you got Russians pushing your candidacy for the Champaign County Board, Tavarich. Who knows? But, you know, let's assume the worst case scenario. Why is it that we have to protect the people who are going to get on Facebook from your Russian influence? Come on.
What? Right.
It, you know, when you look at it this way, it just makes no sense. It's just not defensible. And you would think someone in Congress would have the sense to say, why do you think, Mr. Zuckerberg, it's your business any more than it was the phone company's business to listen to calls and decide, is this appropriate?
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Judge.
All right. Thank you, David. We appreciate the phone call. Well, next up is Anna Wall. Hi, Anna Wall.
Good morning, Anna Wall.
Good morning, and I am so glad that you have Judge Steigerman on the radio this morning. And I'll tell you why. Having taught sociology for 42 years, I know of no other educator that I have met in this town who teaches sociology. I know of no other Afro-Americans that are supposed to be role models who have articulated the kind of knowledge that Judge Steigerman has.
Well, thank you. You're very kind.
I don't know where you learned it. I don't know anything about law, but you know a hell of a lot about sociology. And I want to tell you to keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Anna Wall. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
Yep, good to hear from you, Anna Wall. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, back to the phones again. Tony. Hey, Tony, good morning.
Hi. Judge,
good morning.
The person who uses collusion the most is Trump on his Twitter and Instagram feeds.
Well, yes, and that's true.
I mean, he uses the word the most, and you don't think that they're going to be able to subpoena what he says on Twitter and Instagram?
Well, the first question is, and this is one I mentioned to Brian, is, and maybe you can help me out, like meddling, what do they mean? There's all this talk about Russian collusion, and collusion is a very ambiguous term. So maybe let's put it this way, in a worst case scenario, what do you think in the worst case scenario, what do you fear, think, believe Trump may have done with the Russians by way of collusion with regard to the 2016 election?
I think they probably had meetings on the Facebook post and the influence that had, like one of your callers said earlier about the Hillary supporters and the fake news that was coming out about everything that was going on.
You mean
and
someone in the Trump campaign or Trump himself met with Russians to talk to them about putting out fake news bots on social media?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, okay, let's pause right there for the moment. And by the way, do you have anything else besides that you want to add?
Well, I was just going to ask you, what do you think that Trump means when he says there was no collusion?
Well, you see, that's the problem. I think Trump contributes to this difficulty because he continues to use the same term as opposed to what I've been saying for 2 years, and I'm just a voice in the wilderness, apparently. What do people mean by this? Because, of course, as I mentioned earlier, there's a significant percentage of Democrats who believe that the vote tallies were changed. And I think that's, to a large extent, what this whole meddling and collusion stuff means, even though Rosenstein 2 weeks ago and Barack Obama back in October 2016 said that's just not possible. But going back to just the whole term of collusion, let's assume you're right. Let's assume that someone from the Trump campaign talked to the Russians about putting out these ridiculous Facebook bots or whatever on social media. That would be bad form, I guess. That would be, it's kind of like the whole business about Trump's behavior. He's this wealthy, powerful guy, and he sneaks around maybe and had affairs with beautiful women. Gee, I'm shocked. Okay? That's not to his credit. But to what extent is this a crime or something to be concerned about? Because if the best you've got is people stupid enough to get their news from social media might have been discouraged, then I don't care. I will say again, it's not the job of the government to protect adults from themselves. And you know, if you're getting on social media and you read Facebook or you're getting these bots or Twitters and it's disturbing, you know, that's why God invented the channel changer.
Well,
I don't understand what the issue is.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, you obviously get a lot of your information from Fox News, which gives a total spin.
Why do you think that? Why do you think that? Why do you? What's your basis for believing I don't watch CNN or MSNBC?
I'm not saying you don't.
Well, you just said I.
The majority of your news comes from Fox, and you'd probably be lying if you told me that wasn't true. The majority.
Okay.
Okay.
But I watch everything.
Okay, but the majority watch Fox News, so you get ideas from Fox News, which is totally different than ideas from CNN and MSNBC. So how
so
are
what?
We protecting you from listening to Fox News? Right.
Well, no, no, you see...
You get a lot of your beliefs from Fox News.
Well, therefore, should I have Fox News off the air, or should Fox News be checked by the government for accuracy or anything else? You know, I'm a... Here's the other problem with this. I didn't mention before, but I suppose I should. I'm pretty much a First Amendment absolutist. That is, the answer to speech is more speech. The answer to someone who's putting out nonsense like the moon landings were faked is either to ignore them or read what you want about it. But the idea that the government has to step in and either block social media or apparently the shadow banning or whatever that is, or we're going to have now these private companies block it because it's bad speech or hate speech or whatever they say, that's the antithesis of what the First Amendment ought to be about. So my point is, once again, if your idea of collusion is the Russians and the Trump people got together and talked about putting stuff on Facebook, what's the problem?
Yeah.
You tell me.
Hey, Tony, I got to move on, but thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate the phone call. Need a break. Back with more phone calls, emails, and texts. They're rolling in for the judge after this. -65 degrees, 9:58 here on Penny for Your Thoughts, and we've got a lot of emails and texts here. One says, President Trump's attorney, Rudolph Giuliani, asserted on Monday that collusion is not a crime. He says, I've been sitting here looking in the code trying to find collusion as a crime. He says, collusion is not a crime, he says on Fox and Friends. The president's repeatedly asserted there was no collusion between his campaign and Russia during the 2016 U.S. presidential election. As recently as Sunday, the president took to Twitter to repeat that claim. All right, 9:58, and Chris is on here before the news. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Judge.
Good morning.
In the realm of logic on this whole social media thing, and I think maybe the last caller kind of fell a little bit into that category, is people equating the source to the accuracy or truthfulness of posts or news stories versus actually the stories themselves. One of the big things I haven't seen anything really about with regard to all the Russian posts were they were done for posts for both sides, both candidates, but were the posts actually accurate? Were they truthful? Now, they may have been inflammatory, but being inflammatory doesn't necessarily mean it's inaccurate or untrue. Mm-hmm. So what I think we can end up with is we could be banning sources that are actually putting out accurate information versus domestic political action stories, many of which are wildly untrue, but still go through because they're a domestic source.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, we're going to let him answer that right after the news, okay? So you want to hang on, you want to listen, we'll get him to answer that, okay? On WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And we're back. Hour number two of Penny for Your Thoughts on this Monday, 30th day of July, as we start to wrap up the month. We'll have open line time tomorrow at 9 and then On the Money. They were originally scheduled to be on last Tuesday. We moved them up to this Tuesday so we could bring you all the coverage from Chicago last week at Big Ten Media Day. So just an hour for me tomorrow and then On the Money. Justice Robert Steigman is with us here for both hours. We've been talking about the definition of meddling. What is that? And then also collusion, which has generated a lot of phone calls and a lot of interest. Back to that in a moment. Want to tell you again, Swanson Roofing is one of our sponsors, truly a family-owned business, 100% owned and operated by Corey Swanson and his wife, Melissa. He's a graduate. Corey is from Rantoul High School in the University of Illinois. Can't get any more local than that, right? And every job being 100% cleaned up, one of their strongest attributes. They do not subcontract out any work. They're comprised of a roofing dog crew of roofing professionals certified in roof installation. All of the crew or company employees receive full benefits and 401k. So they're incentivized to do a great job for Corey and Melissa and for you, the customer. And, in fact, they guarantee their work for 50 years. The workmanship for the lifetime of the roof, the materials they use, again, guaranteed for 50 years. Swanson Roofing, taking responsibility and ownership of every past customer. They've got a long, long list, and that is the cornerstone of their business. So even if your roof was not done by Swanson before, have them come out and take a look. Get a free estimate. They serve Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. 355-ROOF, 355-7663, or visit Swanson Roofing online, theroofingdog.com. A couple of things. Randy says, hello once again. People are saying election meddling, and it was not. It was in the campaign metal leg. Okay. John says a candidate for POTUS and or POTUS should want to prove that he or she is not beholden to a foreign power. Trump could easily allay my fear that foreign entities hold too much power over him. That on the text line, 3515357. All right, I had a caller right before the news, Judge, that was asking about sources of news and
right.
how that affects all of this.
I think as best I understood, some of his caller's concerns were about sources of news and what it might be a foreign source or local, and should we know that or the like. And let me address it this way. Going back to my First Amendment, pretty much absolutism view, is that the important thing is, in my judgment, there's no difference. That is, pretty much anybody who is anything he or she wishes to say should be permitted to say it on social media or in any other capacity by print. And here's the point I want to emphasize. The government can't be trusted ever to censor or regulate what people are saying, particularly in a political context. And when I say the government, I mean not this government, not any government, not any government everywhere, anywhere, ever can be trusted. And let me give you an example of what I mean when I talk about a foreign source. Lots of newspapers are for sale because they're having a tough time. Let's assume the Sun-Times was just bought recently by, I think, some wealthy guy in Chicago. Let's assume that a Russian company with ties to the Russian government bought the Sun-Times. And the editorial policy changed. Or maybe they started printing stories that people thought weren't accurate or true. Is it still protected by the First Amendment? Can the government step in and say, wait a minute, you're tied to a foreign government. And let's even take it one step further. The Russian government buys the Sun-Times. Forget about an intermediary. So the Russian government now owns the Sun-Times. Should it be permitted to put out this newspaper? If there's someone who thinks not, I'd like to hear why. Because they're a foreign government? Who cares? So maybe that explains my position with regard to bots and social media. I don't care if the Russian government or the Chinese government or Russian agents or anybody else is putting out material on social media, and I particularly don't care and object strenuously to any thought that the government should step in, or Zuckerberg as an example, and say, this isn't correct or right or true. That's what the whole First Amendment idea that this country has found, the grand jewel of our Constitution, which, if we have a chance to get into, no other country has. We're the only one that has true free speech. Mm-hmm. When I say this, trust me, not Canada, not Western Europe, no one else has free speech as we do. It's something we should cherish and nurture and protect, and that there might be social media bots with ties to Russia. So what? Why isn't that protected by First Amendment? No one ever talks about this, but if the Russian government bought the Sun-Times, would that authorize the federal government to somehow censor or attack what the Sun-Times puts up?
And I think what's happened in regards to that, but also what the one thing the caller was talking about, is that if you may have a certain set of beliefs that you've acquired over the years that you believe are true, and here's what the Constitution says, or here's what, you know, as you've developed over the years, and you, whether it's conservative or liberal, but what happens is when you're talking, then other people immediately say, well, you're just getting your talking points from Fox, or you're getting your talking points from MSNBC if you're a conservative talking to a liberal. And that's where we've basically devolved into is, where are you getting your facts?
Yeah, that's as the one caller said, that's a non sequitur, as if what difference does it make? Why don't we, instead of making accusations about where I'm getting my talking points from, why don't we talk about the point I'm making and address it on its merits?
All right, back to the phones here to John. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
I'm talking in reference of Colin Kaepernick when he stood on a national stage and he kneeled. Now, I will agree, he picked a center stage to do it on, which was the national anthem. But at that time when he did this, I don't know if he checked history, Dr. Billy Graham did it, Dr. King did it, but it wasn't doing the national anthem. But when Mr. Trump said he disrespected the national anthem by doing it, he disrespected the flag by doing it. Now, I don't know the basic of the percentage of black American players in the NFL, but when the president of the United States stood up behind a podium and called them SOBs in reference of what they did or didn't do, this is the highest office in the land. He was trying to please his base. Now, a couple of weeks ago, when the president stood at the podium in a foreign country and stood up and stood on the throat of American people in America as a country, I wonder if his base will tell him to apologize.
Well, a couple of quick thoughts.
Thank you, John.
First of all, I don't like it when people kneel during the national anthem either. I think it was stupid, and there is no... I have some notes here about how people say it's a First Amendment issue. No, it isn't. As I mentioned earlier, I'm pretty much an absolutist on the First Amendment. But people forget that the First Amendment protects citizens from the government. You know, the government is the entity with people with guns who enforce laws. The NFL is not the government. You have at-will workers or workers in private enterprise have no First Amendment rights. They might have other rights. You can't be fired because of your race or ethnicity, but you have no First Amendment rights to say what you want, particularly when it might be contrary to your employer's interest. With regard to what the president said in Helsinki, a lot of people said that wasn't smart, and he should have made it more clear. But this goes back to kind of what I've said. You remember, the claim was, Mr. President, the intelligence community all has reached an agreement that Russians meddled in our election. Do you recall, caller, anyone talking about and defining, what does that mean? What did they change the votes? Now, of course, the problem from the, as I view the president, is he didn't make that response. He instead suggested there was some uncertainty about that and was viewed as dissing the intelligence community. Maybe. And maybe it was a dumb thing to say. Treasonous? Give me a break. And unfortunately, I think he says a lot of things somehow that he often walks back. But, You know, the notion that he needs to apologize further for any of this, I think, is hyperbole of the highest degree and unjustified.
356-9397 is the phone number. Text line 351-5357. A text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, as well as the email. It says, it's business, period. If you pay extra to get a bump in order for your special political Facebook page, then the business has the right to verify what they're being paid to help dispense. You can't say in one hand a business can spend as much money on political ads, but then say, wow, wait, you can't as a business verify from where this money is coming if a business decides to do so.
Well, I think that's right at the moment, and I think it's wrong. It should be regulated. In other words, I go back to the metaphor of the phone company. It wasn't the business of the phone company. If people are calling up Brian Barnhart and saying, Brian, I'm supporting Ferd Berfel for the county board, and he's a great guy, Brian Barnhart might not be interested in that phone call, but it's not the business of the phone company to somehow shield this delicate snowflake Brian from getting that phone call. And the texter is correct that at the moment, Facebook and these social media companies can do anything they want. I just think this is troubling, and I think maybe they should be regulated like a utility so that it's not their business. Just like it wasn't the phone company's business, what I said in my call to you, you can hang up.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're here with Justice Robert Steigman. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts today. He's with us both hours. We've got an open line tomorrow, and then on the money, Dave is with us at 1021. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. Judge, about your being an absolutist on free speech, is money a form of speech?
Well, money can provide a means of getting your voice heard, I guess. It depends. Money, you know, I could stand up on a soapbox, but that might not be effective. If I wish to reach people, I need to take out ads. And, for instance, as a politician. And in order to do that, I need to be able to raise money or get money to take out the ads. If the idea is, oh, no, you can regulate money for speech purposes, well, what about this as a thought? Current law says a woman has a right to an abortion. So could Congress pass a law that says, well, okay, but you can't spend more than $50 to get one? I think you'd probably have a problem with that, wouldn't you?
I would say so. What about Janice? Janice being compelled to pay union dues, was that a form of violating his free speech by requiring him to pay money to or speak to the union he didn't want to?
Yeah, well, it was that actually wasn't the basis of the decision, with which I agree. The basis of the decision was he was required to be part of a group and pay money to a group that took positions he didn't agree with. He was required to do that in order to have a job. Strikes me and struck the court as fundamentally unfair in violation of the First Amendment right, freedom of association, not freedom of speech.
And that's where I'm headed, because say teachers, judges were required to not contribute to their teacher retirement system or their judge's retirement system, in other words, not pay money into or not speak to their public pension system from earnings as a public sector member, would that be a form of First Amendment issues?
Well, I don't think so, because, for instance, I'm a member of the judicial retirement system. The judicial retirement system does nothing but collect money, invest it, and administer that system. It takes no positions concerning issues of public concern. Clearly, the teachers' unions take all kinds of issues, positions regarding issues of public concern. So if I'm required to contribute as a teacher and become be supporting and associated with this group that's taking positions with which I disagree, it's a violation of my First Amendment right of freedom of association. And if the judicial retirement system started tomorrow to do that, then we'd have problems.
if teachers are required, and before Janus, it's my understanding that public sector members, if they did not belong to the union, refused to pay their dues, they could be fired as,
right.
public sector.
That's
is
right.
That right?
Yeah.
So how is it that teachers from some of their earnings were required not to contribute to the teacher retirement system, instead pay Social Security, and also compelled to pay union dues?
Well, the teacher's retirement system is an entirely different thing. I don't know what the rules are, but I can tell you that the teacher's retirement system, indeed no retirement system I'm familiar with, is involved in taking political positions, so there's no comparison.
There's no political position if you're required not to contribute to your pension system. That's violation of statute, isn't it?
No, I don't know where you're going on this whole retirement system.
Do judges ever not contribute to the judges' retirement system?
They are automatically involved in the system unless within their first 30 days they choose not to be.
Judges, therefore, have contributed to Social Security, is that right?
I don't know. I am currently not, because I am involved with the judicial retirement system. But let me cut to the chase. None of your discussion concerning pensions has anything to do with Janus.
Sure it is.
Nope. Not at all. Not remotely.
Wait, Janus was at least allowed to contribute to his pension system and also required to pay into the union, but no. He wasn't required not to contribute to his pension system and still pay into the union.
No, Janus had nothing to do with this. The reason it doesn't, I'll say again, is because pension systems are not involved in political activities and taking political pensions or
So a Fourth Appellate Court order saying that there was no error in a teacher retirement system requiring teachers to pay into FICA is not a problem?
Well, I don't know what you're referring to, but it has nothing to do with
4-09-0887.
Hey, Dave, I got to move, but thank you, sir.
Yeah, I figured you would have.
Well, I have to, yeah. Thank you. Got a break, and we'll come back with more in a moment. Ryan Barnhart here on Penny for Your Thoughts. Justice Robert Steigman with us here today. Four reasons why people spend too much: forgetting the future, leave emergency savings for emergencies only, instead make room in your budget for discretions. People at Busey can help you with this. Rewarding yourself too often, scale back on your impulse purchases, mixing mood with money. Spend money when you're positive and happy. It's easier to remember long-term financial goals. Bad home equity habits. Don't think of your home as a piggy bank. Be smart with your home equity loan or line of credit. Only borrow what you really need. And manage your finances whenever you want, wherever you're with Busey's mobile and online services. The Busey mobile app, the Busey text. You can view balances or transfer right from your phone. Money management, Busey bill payment. See and pay all your bills online. No more checks to write or postage to buy. Regain control of your finances with Busey. Visit Busey.com or 1-800-67-BUSEY or stop by one of their many convenient locations today. Busey Bank and Busey Investment Services are sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. All right, real quick on this before we go to the news. Bill says if two business owners who own 50% of a company each can't agree on how to run the company, get it dissolved. One wants to dissolve, other does not. Let's see. If two business owners who own 50% of a company each can't agree on how to run the company, can they get it dissolved, I guess?
Well, it's a matter for litigation. You'd have to litigate it. It would depend on what the business charter is, to what extent there was a business charter, the agreement, and that's why judges get the big bucks to decide these kinds of things.
All right, and text in says, please ask the judge why we aren't treating texting and talking on the phone more seriously while driving. I believe those using electronic devices while driving should be fined the same as a DUI. The people on phones are causing more accidents and deaths. That's from Ernie.
Well, I agree, and I think the prosecution and the investigation of all of this is being stepped up, and it should be. I, like everyone else, I'm frustrated and bothered a lot when I see people driving around looking down in their lap and or looking at their phones. I think it's a very dangerous thing.
All right. Those were a couple of texts that came in earlier. 10:31. More phone calls, emails, and texts coming up after the news here on DWS.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Bill texts in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. We're back here with Justice Robert Steigman here for the remaining 20 minutes or so. 3515357. He says, so Putin controls Trump. Who really believes anyone can tell Donald Trump what to do? That is from Bill. You wanted to mention a couple of terms?
Yes. Yeah, I do. And first, we got 23 minutes left to go in the show. And I invite, I've done this before, if anyone's got any further clarification on the term, quote, collusion, unquote, please call it. Because I think this is bogus. I think this term is used intentionally ambiguously. Mm-hmm. I've given my explanation of what I think it, and I asked this one caller, what's the, your worst-case scenario on social media? And if someone else says, so be it. But here's some other examples. And it's very troubling. You know, this whole idea of fake news that people disparage, in my judgment, it's not a matter of just what's reported, but what isn't reported. And also, again, the use of ambiguity. In my judgment, fake news includes what amounts to the mainstream media's, I think, intentional conflation of two terms, illegal immigration and legal immigration. They're not the same. And thus we have illegal immigrants who are, pardon the expression, illegal aliens. And by the way, I contacted Stephen Chapman some time back, the columnist for the Tribune, and he was referring to undocumented immigrants. I said, what's that all about? You know, is it, if I have a gun that's illegal, is that an undocumented gun? What's the matter with the term illegal aliens? And of course, it's George Orwell who said euphemisms are designed to conceal the truth. Illegal aliens is a perfectly good term, but somehow this is designed to conceal the truth here and to meld all of this into Trump and Republicans are anti-immigrant, as if these were the same categories. They're not. Mm-hmm. Illegal aliens aren't the same as legal immigrants. And I think the mainstream media has intentionally conflated the two. And as a matter of personal views, as they say, or personal privilege, I'm particularly offended by it because my father was a legal immigrant who went through Ellis Island. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that I really dislike when there's this conflation. I think this is an example of fake news. One last thing, and no one asked this question either. It's again, the question's not asked. Trump and the Trump administration got a lot of bad publicity over the separation of families and all that, and children. Here's the question that should be asked of Betsy Landrigan or Dirksen Landrigan, should be asked of all the people who have been criticizing Trump. The question is this. Assume for the moment you have a family of four, a father, a mother, children 8 and 6, who have been found and arrested in this country illegally. What should the government do with them?
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay, candidate Landrigan, what's your answer? Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that question asked?
No.
Now, how is that, Brian, yeah, with all of the upset about all this? And again, this would be a meaningful, adult, serious discussion on the subject. Instead, we have demonization. We have Rachel Maddow crying. I mean, you know, we don't have this stuff being talked about seriously.
And that's the thing I think that's happened. Rational discussion has disappeared. It's, you know, you're just this or you're that name or you're whatever. And we can't even sit down and discuss it.
Instead, and maybe someone will call and offer what if you don't like the Trump policies, what do you think? If you were president, if you were in charge of ICE, what should be the policy? The example I gave, father, mother, 8 and 6 year old kids arrested in this country, having entered illegally, what should we do with them?
Mm-hmm. And some people would say, well, were the kids born here or were they brought in? Did they have a choice? That would be what people
would. They're from Central America. Mm-hmm. They're here illegally. They're arrested illegally. They have no right to be here. What do we do with them having discovered this?
All right, back to the phones here. Mark's been hanging on. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Brian. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And Justice Steigman, I would say that you're my favorite guest on the show.
Well, thank you.
For all these years. You bring so much knowledge, but logic and insight. It's a nice mix. Hey, I got a question. I'd love to comment on a lot of what y'all are talking about, but I have an issue as a power of attorney for a quadriplegic now, and I want to run it by you because you understand summary judgments. He was judged against, and I'm understanding that it's almost impossible to turn that unless a crime was committed.
So he was judged, what did you say?
He lost his summary judgment. It was ruled against him. You know, fault, 51% fault for being in an accident.
Well, summary judgment doesn't really work that way. Summary judgment is when the trial court grants a motion to dispose of a case on the grounds that there is no genuine issue of material fact. The facts are clear, and based upon those facts, one side should lose before you get to trial. Now,
right.
Is that what happened in this case?
Well, they threw it out. It's over with.
Okay, well, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's over. I mean, that's what I do in the appellate court all the time. And the losing party, the party who has lost the summary judgment entered for the other side, can't appeal that to the appellate court on the grounds that this was an incorrect ruling. I hear those cases all the time. And
okay.
With and some frequency, we agree.
That's what we did, and we lost that as well. And
okay.
The question is my understanding is, if one can prove a crime occurred, that's a basis to open that case up again.
I'm not sure I understand. A crime occurred where?
What happened was we went through the discovery stage. She fell on the MTD bus,
uh-huh.
Hurt herself badly, neck injury, and there was one driver involved through the entire discovery phase, and out of nowhere, a driver's report showed up of a female driver being involved, which was not part of anything. And we have a track record saying all along there was one driver involved. There was two instances, but one driver was involved throughout, and the witness who helped Sam off the bus because he could not physically get off the bus on his own stated to me, and I videotaped his statement, and he said, you know, that bus driver, he never got out of his seat to help, making it very clear it was a male driver, and yet the MTD submitted a fraudulent report. Saying,
well, let me suggest this. I hate to take up too much time on Penny in discussing a given case, so let me just suggest this. If there was fraud on the court leading to the judgment, that is, there was a fraudulent something or other, that is a matter in which you're suggesting. That may be a matter that you need to discuss with an attorney that can be raised to the court even after, it could be much later, on the grounds that a fraud was committed and the court should reopen and reconsider this matter. But it's a tricky business, and you need to talk to counsel about it.
Well, you know, I've tried, every attorney won't touch it.
There are lots of lawyers around, and you should keep trying. And a lawyer, if you can't find a lawyer to pursue this, it may be that the lawyers just don't think there's any merit to it for whatever reason. Sorry.
Yeah, and what's the statute of limitations on that?
I don't know that there is any. It's a good question. On demonstrating fraud, well, actually, it's been a while since I checked. I spoke too quickly. I think it might be 5 years.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, Mark.
One last comment, if I could.
Mm-hmm. Real quick.
NDAA, Judge, you should research NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act for 2013, where the government made it legal to propagandize its own citizens.
Well,
we talk about all this stuff going on social media, and yet the government passed a law so they could.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep, appreciate you listening. 1046 from Rick. He's texts in. He says, Russian bots are propaganda to deceive voting American people. That's wrong and should be pointed out.
What if they bought the Sun-Times and they put out bad news, according to him? Is that wrong and should be stopped? The point is, if it's wrong, that's we have a marketplace of ideas. We never want the government to say, I'm the government. I'm deciding what's fair and accurate, and I'm not going to permit that.
All right, back to the phones to Eric on with Justice Steigman. Hi, Eric.
Good morning. Gentlemen, regarding the hot spots in the world, the war in Afghanistan and the continuous daily violence, which has taken up a lot of Mexicans being killed, both areas have a common denominator, and that is drugs. Like Afghanistan, some of the farmers will grow opium poppies because that is their most profitable crop, and they're probably addicted too. So if somebody comes along and say, hey, you've got to stop this growing, go back to grains or something, they're not going to do that because it's the most profitable crop. They are addicted to it. Same way within Mexico, the daily gangster violence is the result of a drug war. And the only way we can stop this, as I see it, is we have to do something like Amsterdam has done, and that is legalize and closely regulate the drugs involved, because if we don't change the model, then this will continue, and the Afghanistan war, as you know, has gone on for 16 years and is going to go on for a hell of a lot longer if we don't make the change in terms of the legality of some drugs.
We'll let him answer that, okay? Well, thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
There are a lot of people who agree with Eric. It's a very difficult area, figuring out what to do, the whole business of the drugs. The only comment I really have is this. In one capacity or another, for 50 years, I've been fighting the war on drugs. And the dirty little secret is we're not winning, and I don't see how we can win, and maybe it's time to rethink what we should do.
All right, and a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line says, good morning, Brian and Judge Steigman. Can you briefly discuss the missing Chinese student? Does a case like this normally take this long? It seems costly and inefficient. That's from Curtis.
Well, a couple of quick thoughts. One of the reasons it's taking so long is because the government has said they want to pursue the death penalty. So that gives the defense much more time to prepare in the event there's a guilty verdict to deal with the aggravation mitigation stage where the jury would then be deciding whether there's a death sentence. One thing I want to mention about that case, I know it's frustrating, but I commend everyone involved in it, particularly the government lawyers, because they're handling it the way it should be handled. Contrast this with the terrible behavior of the FBI and the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. The point I'm making is there are no leaks. Prosecutors should keep their mouths shut. I know it's frustrating, but that's what our system was designed to do. Contrast that with the Mueller investigation, with what was going with Comey. And I mean, it for someone like me, as I said a moment ago, for 50 years I've been involved in the criminal justice system, one capacity or another, I'm really embarrassed. This is the worst I've ever seen. And I know I've worked with FBI people in the past. They are some terrific folks, and I know they're embarrassed too, that the highest levels of the Department of Justice, the FBI, should be shown to be doing what they did and these leaks, which is anathema. In the Comey business back in 2016, cops and the FBI should be the bottom of it, never talk about their investigations. Typically, they don't even confirm that one is going on. And it was just awful, and it's an ongoing embarrassment.
Yeah, and I would think the reputation of the FBI has been so sullied now that people don't know.
They
don't know what to trust. Not so much the people working every day, but just in general.
It's exactly the right distinction to draw. Apparently, the high levels got Potomac fever and forgot what the mission was supposed to be about. But I want to emphasize again, the Chinese scholar case, they're doing the right thing. This is how it's supposed to work. You keep your mouth shut. You don't leak a thing. And if that's too hard for you to do, you could always sell aluminum siding.
All right, 10:51, back with Justice Steigman after this. Hey, hey, hey. Brian Barnhart back on Penny for Your Thoughts, back tomorrow as well for an hour, and then it'll be On the Money in the second hour and more throughout the week. Jim Dye will join us later in the week. And Woods family, Woods Basement Systems, they've been involved since 1986, helping with crawl space, basement issues. They're coming to my house here next month to work on some stuff. One of the things that happens with the foundation walls of your home, if you get a crack, what's lurking in that crawl space? Well, mold, pests of all types, and smells. And, of course, we've had some pretty good weather here lately, but earlier this summer when it was really hot, the air conditioner's turned on, and that causes mold, water into your crawl space. The mold gets trapped. The water gets trapped in the vapor barrier. And then you've got mold. And all of a sudden, that's not a very good thing. And you got to deal with that. So there's just all kinds of things. They do not get any better either. Don't stick your head in the sand and try to pretend it's going to go away, because they won't. Cracks get worse if you ignore them. They steal value from your home. So what do? You got a problem? Well, you can get a free estimate, that's for sure. It is free. 888-935-4333. Go to woodsbasementsystems.com. It was founded more than 25 years ago, 30 years ago, since the company was founded in the Woods home. Today, with a 16,000-square-foot office facility, 20-acre property for their production teams, it only begins to tell the story of what Woods Basement Systems can do for you. All right, let's see how many calls we can get in here, and let's go to Jim, has been waiting. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. I always love hearing you guys, and I agree with Mark. You do bring reason and especially common sense, both of you. Mm-hmm. But I'll make this quick. I've been on hold about 15 minutes. Didn't mean to be the last one of the last callers. The compassion for the unlimited amount of illegals coming into this country astounds me. I'm a compassionate person. I happen to be a conservative. But why people don't understand, we can't just have millions of people come here undocumented, their term, illegally. It is illegal. Call it what it is. And real quickly, straws. They're outlawing straws in several different areas. I believe the state of California. And the last thing I wanted to touch on, Austin, Texas. I saw this morning, of course, on Fox. Austin, Texas is real close to putting on a ballot for changing their name. Apparently, Mr. Austin, whom founded Austin, Texas, it's named after, had something to do with slaves, which was a common thing in his time. He didn't invent it. He apparently believed in slave help, and that nowadays, by our standards, is very incorrect. But now Austin, the city of one of the most popular places for young people and liberals, is looking at outlawing that name and changing the name.
They're going to have to. They'd have to change the name of the university too, because it's Stephen F. Austin, right?
Well, that's one of them. Here's a quick point. I just want to address your first one made. A question I've been asking on this show for decades. When I first raised it, people thought it was crazy. The question is this. Should there be any rules governing who may enter this country? And again, this is the question which, as we're talking about immigration, it's fake news. Why is it fake news? Because the news media never asks this question of particularly Democrats or liberals. This should be the first question. Should there be any rules governing who may enter this country? And then the second question is, if so, should they be enforced? And apparently now we have a lot of people, including the second in charge of the Democratic Party, Keith Ellison, who says, no, we shouldn't have any rules, that the rules are racist or improper or whatever. We should have that debate.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good to hear from you. And that is all the time we're going to have today. We got less than a minute to go.
I got a stack of stuff, Brian.
I know you got it scattered all over the studio here,
and the Gorsuch, he's sitting in the Supreme Court, and the Brett Kavanaugh nomination. Let me just add this quickly on that subject. It was Barack Obama who said elections have consequences, and there's no reason not to support Brett Kavanaugh, who is the Republican president nominee, any more than the Republicans had any good reason to not or to oppose Eleanor Kagan or Sonia Sotomayor, who is the nominee of Obama. That's, they would probably not come up with the positions they wanted, but that's not a reason to vote no.
Yeah. Judge, good to see you.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, let's do it again. We'll talk to you soon on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. The news is next at 11 o'clock. Thanks for being with us. Talk to you tomorrow on Penny.